Welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you an opportunity to participate in the show. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
That's right. Welcome, everyone, to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. And, Michael, you sent me a knock-knock test. I didn't see it, and then we didn't see you at the back door. It's a long story, but you're here. And I'm at least glad it wasn't raining out there.
Yes.
Beautiful day.
Pull that up there. There you go. Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. We always love it when you come on in, Michael. This is fun. I tried to get you in here last week, but you were skiing?
No, I was in Sun Valley. We were actually hiking.
And to my surprise, not quite ready yet.
Well, honestly, we were hiking in Craters of the Moon National Monument, of which I knew nothing until I arrived there. It's remarkable, and was expanded during the Clinton administration from 50,000 to 750,000 acres.
Wow!
It is a huge monument or national park, and if you look at the state of Idaho, it's a big chunk of it. Mm-hmm. And it is just amazing. It is like a moonscape. And fascinating to visit. But while we were there, there was some snow in the high country. So
sure, it's coming.
Skiing is around the corner.
Around the corner. Good. Did you get your passes?
Not yet, but
okay.
I'm trying to decide how many times I'm going to steal away to ski. That's my biggest decision.
Well, good. In any event, we are glad you're here. And folks, if you have a question for Dr. Umat or today, for at least for the next hour, for Dr. Michael Gilbert with Northwest Vision Institute, this is the perfect time to call.
Well, actually, I have a question for him.
Well, let me give out the number first. 800-465-8770. 800-465-8770.
Do I have to wait my turn?
Yes. And now you may speak.
Okay. And I'm excited because I heard your talk earlier this morning. And I want to make some comment on some of the insights that you gave. So question first.
Yeah, sure. I would love to hear that, actually. So I know from a very reliable source, ooh, a wonderful patient of mine, that you have suggested use of testosterone cream on the eye. And I wanted to hear about that.
Very good. So actually, that feeds right into what I wanted to say anyway, based on your comments this morning.
Okay.
Because I was listening carefully, even though menopause is not one of my passions, it's one of my interests.
Uh-huh.
But it affects, you know, an enormous percentage of the population and my patient base. So we certainly have to be mindful of it. And your comments, you included vision changes.
Yes.
And I suddenly, you know, because I don't think, if you ask me, what are the symptoms of menopause? I don't put vision in there, but there's no question that it's one of those many things. That said, their hormonal shifts is not the primary reason for most women who are in the menopausal age group to have vision changes. It's part of it. But it is also an age where there are increasing cataracts. There's macular degeneration that can start. Glaucoma risk factors go up during that same time period. So if there are vision changes, for goodness sake, get your eyes checked, because it could just be some hormonal changes, which, by the way, can be managed, but it also could be something much more serious, or simple shifts in the prescription based on lens changes, some of which can have hormonal basis. So by all means, get your eyes checked, and we can talk about all of those changes. The hormonal ones oftentimes lead to dry eyes. And while we tend to think of the estrogen levels as being the predominant one, those you spoke of earlier, and how we replace them most effectively, so replacement of estrogen can influence the gland atrophy that happens. And you and I have talked about the meibomian glands that are the most important, appear to be the most important for both comfort and stability of vision. And so replacing estrogens can influence that. But it turns out the testosterone levels are particularly effective in helping to recover some of those glands. And so, while it's not my primary treatment, you have to really make sure the other treatments, if those glands have been damaged, testosterone isn't going to bring them back.
Okay.
But it may help to optimize them. Okay.
Okay.
So number one, when those glands, normally, it doesn't come to our attention until the glands have enough damage that you've really got dry eyes. And so what are the symptoms that most commonly present? Well, I have patients who will say, I can't read.
Mm.
And the key question that was never taught to me in school, but I learned years of practice, was, okay, can you read at all? Because the first thing when someone says, I can't read, we start checking their prescription, their bifocals, their reading glasses.
Right.
But the question is, can you read at all? Or do you mean you just can't read very long?
Mm.
And a high percentage of those patients will say, I can't read more than 15 minutes.
Oh. Okay.
Well, suddenly the differential, those things that we consider, change completely. Because if you can read for a while, it means it's not your glasses.
Yeah.
It means it has to do with the lubrication system that should be keeping you comfortable. And there can be problems either with the tear release, which is to say the glands are being damaged, and that can be hormonal, or at least hormonal plays a role. Or it can be mechanical, which is to say, I saw a patient this week who had a blepharoplasty, and that's where they take excess skin.
Yes.
And she felt like her eyes just looked too small. So they opened it up for her.
Okay.
But in opening it up, she had lost the ability to fully close her eyes.
Ah.
Unfortunately, that means there is a percentage of the eye that never gets the blink to cover it.
Sure. Was that a cosmetic
thing
that she
did? It was done for, does for cosmesis. And when I suggested, you know, this is actually mechanically blocking, not only is it leaving part of your eye exposed, which is both a comfort and a vision issue, because that eye dries out.
Yeah.
And you can imagine trying to look through a glass with water spots or you know, it's like frosted glass. It no longer is crystal clear.
And that happens when she's supposed to be sleeping with her eyes fully closed.
Right.
Even during the daytime when she
blinks. During the day.
Okay.
And when she blinks, the mechanical blink, when you blink, the release of the next pulse of tears, that pulse of tears that keeps your vision clear, is released when, but only when, you blink such that the eyelids touch. It's a mechanical system, no automatic function to release those tears. So those people who either can't or choose not to blink will fail to release the tears and they are uncomfortable. The worst part of that system is it lives and dies under the old adage, if you don't use it, you
lose it. Yeah.
And so I see patients, not only those people who have had blepharoplasty. Some people sleep with their eyes open. Sometimes those muscles get weak. The worst, or rather to say the most common that I see in the Northwest are those of us, which is to say a huge percentage of the population, who work intensely on screen time.
Yeah, sure.
And in fact, that is the biggest thing that I have seen, a biggest shift in my practice from COVID.
Mm.
We spend so much time at home, on Zoom, on those online
Netflix
meetings, so much more screen time than we did.
Yes.
I didn't have a Netflix subscription until, you know, six months ago, right? and I'm not into Netflix, but.
Yeah, I'm not either.
No, but, you know, all of us are spending more screen time. And consequently, studies have shown that when we're on screen time, worst is desktop, but any screen time, our blink rate changes from an average of 12 to 20 times a minute down as low as two.
Oh, wow.
So we stare at computers.
Yeah.
And as we stare, not only does that lack of blinking increase the fluctuation in acuity and fatigue, so by the end of the day or by the end of an hour, depending on age and a lot of different things and hormonal balance, you start to have some fatigue,
but that's so me,
right?
Yeah, that is so me.
I've scolded you on this very thing, and it turns out, you know what? One of the things that I've been doing this long enough that when I have a new patient and we're talking, I just chat.
Yeah.
And as we're chatting, I look at them and I say, "You spend a lot of time on the computer, don't you?"
Yeah.
And they do, and so, you know,
because
of course around
blinking.
here,
right.
That's not a, you know, a high risk bet because you know, a lot of people do.
Yeah.
But you can tell because if you do that intensely for a high percentage of the waking day, day after day, it rewires the brain so that even when you're not working on the computer, you don't blink as much.
That's right. It becomes a habit, right?
Oh.
When you do it enough times.
And
then
so, part of what I do is I try and coach them on strategies to try and reintegrate the blinking into what they do.
Right.
They've been told take breaks.
Right.
Well, getting up and getting a Coke.
Yeah.
Or Jerry Mixon's ideas go up and he pumps iron when his eyes get tired, right?
Yes.
Well, okay.
Well,
but
right,
Jerry, if you just blink, you'd get as much value. Hi, Jerry, if you're listening, I'm sure you are.
Well, you know, I was reading a lot more about aesthetics these days, right, because of our aesthetic division having all those new fancy lasers. And for radio frequency and for facial rejuvenation, they actually talk about facial exercises. And I was reading about blinking as being one of those exercises that helps you move the muscles. In fact, after a Botox injection, they recommend that you use the facial muscles instead of not using them. We certainly still don't want them exercising, but you can do some blink movements to get, you know, better result from the injections. So facial exercises and blinking as part of facial exercises actually helps with facial rejuvenation.
Absolutely true.
Yeah. So it makes those muscles, because, you know, time and gravity are still taking their toll on that, and they're moving, you know, the sagging on the face is what causes the fine lines to appear. So smiling more and, you know, using those muscles, blinking, looking up, are actually helpful to reduce those lines,
right?
Interestingly enough.
Yes, exactly.
This is quite fascinating. And by the way, thank you again. You got me a pair of, what do you call them?
Well, most people would call them computer glasses. But if you call them computer glasses, then you've really missed the point of the real value of them. Because most people don't just work on the computer. They work on the computer. But I call them workspace glasses. And it's my own term because computer glasses technically just are focused for the computer. Now, if you're 25 or 35, that's all the same. But if you're over 45, or especially 50, at 50, your distance prescription is not the same as your near prescription. So those who are working on the computer will find that when they're looking down at their cell phone or documents, we're working in a complex visual environment, not just computer, but we've got multiple screens. Now I have three.
I have three.
I haven't tried four, but I'm tempted. You have surround sound. I don't see any reason why. I'm thinking of having the news over here on the fourth one. You know,
I don't have any in our bathroom.
Good grief.
I haven't gone that far.
I used to, but we built a new home, and I agreed with my wife. It was one of those things that was negotiated where I lost.
I think you won.
That doesn't mean I can't carry my radio in there, or I mean I have sound,
phone
but
or
I,
iPad.
Yeah,
I have sound, but no visual.
Well, anyway, those workspace glasses for me have saved my life. My regular glasses that I have on right now are fine for just a short little look at the screen or what have you, but boy.
It is approximately age 50 where a simple progressive begins to be less and less effective at the computer distance.
That's for me.
It's there. It's there. But the problem is it has to do with ergonomics.
Yeah.
Just the way we sit, where we have the computer, and where, you know, how those progressives function. Progressives are very common and they're very effective. But for most of us, the way they're designed is you to get to the computer distance at about age 50, you have to tilt your head back just a little bit.
Yeah.
And with each passing year, the angle increases.
Mm-hmm.
So you're pretty soon, you've got your head up and you don't even recognize it.
Uh-huh.
Because you get there very gradually.
Yeah, it becomes a new norm.
So with the computer or the workspace glasses, you normalize your posture, which is better for your neck and your comfort if you're going to spend any time. 5 minutes worth of emails, sure, it doesn't matter what you do. You can do that for a few minutes. But if you're going to sit there and work on the computer, having glasses that optimize your ergonomics, which turns out to influence your vision, include having that vision at an optimized prescription for straight ahead, and then being able to just look down.
Look on the wall to my master calendar, my travel plans, all that stuff, production, schedules. Anyway, this is very good. And we've got some callers for you, but we need to go to a break. Let's do that now. When we come back, we'll talk with Stephanie, Tal, and Deanie. And I think we still got one line open, so you could call us at 800-465-8770. I've got Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. He's the guy. Boy, do we get testimonials from people. In fact, the one that you often hear as an ad on our program, people that go to you, they talk about their previous ophthalmologist as old school, antiquated. There is no better place to be. If you want to be on the leading edge, and Lord knows that's what this show is all about, you want Dr. Michael Gilbert and Northwest Vision Institute. It makes a huge difference. We're not kidding. And we'll be back.
We decided we needed something to make us feel younger and healthier. I didn't want to do it by myself. I knew that Larry had to come with me.
Since I've become a longevity patient, I just feel wonderful now.
If you're thinking about attending a seminar, go. You have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Longevity is a miracle for us.
As we stroll along together, holding hands, walking all alone. So in love are we two that we don't know what to do. So in love,
so in love,
in the world our own.
So
as we stroll by the sea together.
You know, you just heard some more testimonials talking about having been to a seminar. Well, I don't know. Should we apologize that we're not doing seminars? I guess it's pretty obvious why.
You don't apologize for an upgrade.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you. And actually, we stopped doing seminars before the pandemic started. That was not the reason we stopped.
Yeah.
We stopped because as good as this and as fun as the seminars are. I mean, people love them.
Yeah.
But it still was kind of a pain in the butt to have to go out to a hotel or whatever and take the time getting there, the seminar itself, and then driving home and all of that. Well, we now have a video that pretty much explains like the seminar does. It's called, oddly enough, The Introduction to Longevity on our website, lmclinic.com. And so you can just do it in the comfort of your home 24/7, 365, anytime you want. And it makes really, really good sense. We've got that other video on there now talking about the two stages of aging,
mm-hmm.
which is longevity 2.0 kind of a thing, or at least the latest edition of services that we're making available. And so if you want to know more about longevity, you just simply go to our website, lmclinic.com, and watch a video or two. And but more importantly, we realized that the smartest thing, the easiest thing, people that listen to this show tend to believe us, at least, well, they're skeptical at first. And then the longer they listen, they realize, well, this is really making sense. This is making sense. And so we decided to make the free health analysis appointments available, where we actually do two free tests. You keep hearing Dr. Mixon and Dr. Umat say, if you don't measure, you don't know. If you don't measure, you don't know. People realize, yes, that's important. So we do the measuring for you, at least some initial measuring. And so make one of those free health analysis appointments at lmclinic.com.
Well, you know, Pete, just along those lines, testosterone use for women, it was started in this clinic way before it became the norm, if you will.
Oh, my goodness,
but,
yes.
But 3 years ago, I went to attend a conference, the North American Menopause Society's meeting, for the simple reason that they had changed their mission statement that year for the first time, and they had included testosterone replacement therapy for women in certain cases as part of their mission statement now. So they're recognizing that some women do need it. And this year, I was even more impressed as I was reading their statements, as well as the International Hormone Society meetings. They're all recognizing now that women need testosterone replacement and that some women do have significant symptoms at and beyond menopause, that testosterone can impact positive on their quality of life. And so, you know, it's physiology, right? We've said this time and time again, that the physiological declination of hormones will impact on your life. And because now we're living longer, it will affect how you age. And replacing that will not only reduce your symptoms, it'll actually allow you to lead a healthier, more fulfilling life in many aspects.
I couldn't agree with you more. In fact, I've got a question for you, Dr. Michael Gilbert from Northwest Vision Institute. We're going to take some calls for you, but so many people think of testosterone for men and estrogen for women. That's just how we've been trained over the decades. But it's not even just, it's one thing to talk about testosterone, but the important thing, this is why Dr. Mixon is always saying comprehensive hormone replacement therapy, because every body is different. Holy cow. This is why we measure 8 basic hormones, not just testosterone for men and estrogen for women, but all of them, because you never know what that formulation is in your body, how they've declined, to what degree, what is where and how and if and why. And so the measurement process is absolutely critical.
And it's changing. So once we begin a program, we still continue to measure because it's not a static phenomenon. One and done is not okay.
Right.
Because you're dynamic, you're changing, and life around you is changing, and we need to adapt to that constantly.
Yeah, one of our competitors, you might say, sees you for a major overhaul and look at your hormones, and they tell you what to take and then say, call us in a year or so. I mean, that's just insanity. The program, we won't get into it right now, but when you are a patient at Longevity Medical Clinic, you are with us a number of times every year, about every 3 months. We measure, we analyze, we adjust. You know, we do what's best for you because things change. Lifestyles change, diets change, weather, I mean, you name it, all sorts of impacts there. So it's pretty exciting. Again, we've got Dr. Michael Gilbert. Let's take a call, shall we? Let's go to Marysville and talk with Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, welcome.
Hello, everyone. I'm so
good
happy
morning,
to
Stephanie.
Be able to, I'm happy to speak with you, Dr. Gilbert. This has been bugging me for a long time. About 30 years ago, I had badly fitting contacts, which caused a corneal abrasion, And then it, apparently I thought it healed. I was able to continue wearing contacts after it healed. And then about 20 years ago, I had LASIK surgery, so I didn't need contacts anymore. But, you know, every now and then, probably at least once a week, when my eye gets dry, when I wake up in the morning, maybe my eye has been open, it irritates me. Is there anything that can be done at this late date to make that feel better?
Yes, ma'am, almost certainly. It's called a careful exam. When you describe it, the initial presentation of what you described, there's a condition called recurrent corneal erosions. And what happens, whether it's a fingernail scratch or a contact lens scratch or some kind of damage to the corneal epithelium, that epithelial layer, number one, is extremely sensitive. It's one of the most painful superficial injuries in the body, probably the most, if you ask someone who's had one. However, that layer heals back very fast. What it doesn't always do is adhere to the next layer down. So although it has recovered in its structural dimension, it's there, it becomes like a tablecloth on the table. It's loose. And what will happen is as the eyelid, as you sleep, particularly at night, but anytime the eye gets dry, but again, most common presentation is I wake up with that eye pain. And what happens is the eyelid has dried to that fragile, loose layer of epithelium. When you wake up in the morning, the first opening of the eyelid tugs on it, lifts it up enough for it to be very painful. Recurrent corneal erosion. So the way to treat that is to protect it at night. Now, there's actually a minor procedure we can do in the office. If that's what it is, it's easy to identify for a corneal specialist. You find that loose area and you just do a minor treatment at the microscope where we get it to readhere. And that's very effective. On the other hand, you probably can treat it at home just by putting in ointment every night, because night is the most vulnerable period for that. Now, the end of what you described, because this also irritates you during the day and when you wake up, I'm thinking it's possible that instead of just that, we were talking a little earlier about those situations where the eyelid doesn't fully close 100%. And it's certainly possible that what you're describing is a little area of chronic irritation that is actually exposed at bedtime because your eyelids aren't fully closed. Differentiating between those two, it takes just a very few minutes. Careful looking with experience, looking at the surface of the eye, we should be able to determine which of those two, perhaps both, possibly neither, but what you described is almost certainly both or one of those two conditions. Now, it turns out if I had to treat it over the radio, which I don't do and I don't recommend,
oh, darn.
But if you ask me, how can I treat this so I don't wake up in pain, using an ophthalmic ointment, little bit of ophthalmic ointment every night before you go to bed in that eye, we should be able to block the exposure, and if it's gapped with air overnight, or if it's the lubrication issue for that recurrent erosion, you put that micro thin layer of the ointment actually prevents it from drying to the vulnerable layer, and in most patients can prevent you from tearing that up.
So, Dr. Gilbert, does the LASIK make this worse? Does
No.
it have anything to do with it?
LASIK didn't have anything to do with either of those. If it's the recurrent erosion where that top layer, LASIK goes underneath that.
Oh, okay.
Right? And so it's possible using the old technology for making a LASIK flap, it is possible to have made it a little worse. But, you know, the quick answer is it's not the LASIK. Right?
Good to know.
It almost certainly was pre-existing if it's the recurrent erosion. If it's also the exposure is what we call it, exposure where either part or all night you have a little gap, air getting to it, particularly during this period where the air quality has been poor or as we have more air circulation, especially as we go into winter because the humidity goes down in the house and the workplace. And as we're working on computers, all of those both of those diagnoses are made worse by the dryness in the air and dryness of, you know, the activity.
Isn't there a normal percentage of people who don't fully close their eyes at night?
And it increases with age.
Right.
So let me, I seem to remember on your CV, you are a cornea specialist. Is that accurate? Do I remember?
Objection, Your Honor, leading the witness. Well, it's one of the reasons that, you know, I find that the signs under the microscope are somewhat subtle in this, but I've been doing it so long that it's honestly fairly easy. And I think for most ophthalmologists, they're likely to pick it up, but it's something that as a cornea specialist, I get referred such patients who have exactly this kind of problem.
Stephanie, anything else?
Is the ointment prescription or over the counter?
No, over the counter. There's another simpler technology called an eye seal. We have those at the office. That will help the exposure component. But if it's the recurrent erosion that's complicating it, then that really needs the ointment. Honestly, I'd get it checked out. This has been bothering you for so many years. It's really silly.
I haven't had my vision checked for too long.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, too. I think it's better you have an exam before you pick up the ointment.
I think it's, you know, it's low risk to use the ointment, but honestly, it just makes sense for you to have this parsed out and figure out exactly why you have this chronic pain. It doesn't make sense for you to say, well, it seems to be better if I just cover it up.
Right. Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
I'm very happy to have that answer. Thank you.
You bet, Stephanie. Good call, good question. And with that in mind, let me give out the phone number for Northwest Vision Institute. I've got it right here. Where is it? I can't seem. There it is, Dr. Michael Gilbert. 425-450-2020. That's 425-450-2020. And you can also, by the way, make an appointment at the website is, what is your website?
Hey, Pete, did you need a vision exam?
No.
NW. So it's nwvision.com, Northwest Vision.
That's right. You would think I would have it here. I kept looking. I've got a new cheat sheet with phone numbers and stuff like that. And I'm having a hard time zeroing in on my own cheat sheet, but I didn't have that down there. So nwvision.com. And you can make your own appointment.
Make your appointments right online.
So obviously, if being on the leading edge, there's one thing that our listeners know. There's a monster difference between plain Jane medicine and leading edge medicine. There's a huge difference, sometimes as much as a 15-year gap between when something becomes reality, between the science of something new, and a 15-year gap, the latest study I saw, 17 years before the science catches up, or I should say the insurance companies catch up with reality. And so this is why Dr. Gilbert is often a guest here, because he too is on the leading edge.
Well, Pete, on a daily basis, and I know this is this is going to strike a chord with Dr. Umat. Part of what makes my medicine so exciting to me is that day-to-day change, the progress that we make. I don't treat a condition the same every 6 months. There's always something changing in what I'm doing.
Yep.
And my scribes who helped me just make notes in the chart have commented, you know, 6 months ago we were treating that differently. I said, well, the science changes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and then you have to kind of know who to read, where to go, because it's not immediately published, nor does it become the standard of care very quickly.
No.
So you have to look for researchers that are at the leading edge. And that's part of what Dr. Mixon does for us. He's always looking out for those small groups that are way ahead of their time and talking about issues, for example, our senescent cells and exosome therapy. I mean, he gave us the books about exosomes and senescent cells, what, 5-6 years ago to read?
That's right.
And,
yeah.
You know, we're reading more and more about it now. Yep. So
again, if you would like to make an appointment at Northwest Vision Institute, you can call them. Here's the number, 425-450-2020, 425-450-2020, or make your own appointment, or just check them out online at their website, nwvision.com, nwvision.com. All right, we're going to go talk to Deanie in Olympia. Deanie, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I would like to ask Dr. Gilbert about intraocular lenses. I had them put in about a year ago, and the distance is marvelous. The intermediate is great. However, now I have to wear reading glasses. Can you tweak them? Can you do anything for it?
So the quick answer is probably, the careful answer is I would certainly have to take a look at what implant was used and what your residual prescription is. But I think there's almost certainly ways that we can make adjustments to the endpoint. If it's a matter, so most people think once the implant is in there, it's done, it's permanent. Well, the implant is indeed permanent. However, there is an incredible technology called LASIK, and we typically think of LASIK being something for young adults to use from their 20s, 30s, 40s. But where I use it in patients in their 50s, 60s, 80s plus is patients who are dissatisfied after implant technology because we can adjust it. We can change.
Perfect.
They used to have near vision, and now they're upset they can't read. It sounded real good to have distance vision, so they chose that. And then they find out, wait a minute, what happened to my near? Well, you chose distance. And so I have patients. I saw someone just yesterday who had implant surgery done elsewhere and came in, and I wanted distance vision, and they gave me near vision. And so we talked about the options, and there are several, and there's one medically covered laser that I said will help her, but ultimately just a minor reshaping of the cornea will compensate for the implant that she chose or the surgeon chose and most likely give her back that distance vision. So if you're happy with the distance and intermediate, I think there's a very good chance that by adjusting one, perhaps both, but probably just your non-dominant eye, would extend the range that you have without higher risk. The highest risk surgery that would probably answer the question is to take out that lens, put in a new one. But that's more expensive, higher risk. The safest, most direct way is to make an adjustment. And of course, what we do is we demonstrate to you, maybe put a lens in front of you to show you what that's going to achieve. Most likely it would give you the range that you're looking for.
Sweet. I will be calling you Monday morning. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Deanie.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, no, that's very fascinating, you know, that you can go back later on and do another different procedure that can fix it.
That's right.
I never thought about using LASIK for that
purpose.
LASIK
can be
used.
And the only thing, of course, is you want to make sure that patients who have dry eyes, LASIK can temporarily, the good news is studies have clearly shown that it's temporary, but temporarily make your eyes a little bit drier.
Okay.
So you want to make sure I don't have that problem for the vast majority of my patients because we supercharge the tear system before we do the LASIK.
Sure.
So we're ahead of that
rather than waiting to see
if it happens and try and,
there you go.
Try and catch back up.
Yeah.
You know,
nice.
One thing that I have heard now probably 4 or 5 times from various patients and friends that I've sent your way, Michael, is that your exams are night and day. They are like Star Trek kind of stuff compared to just the run-of-the-mill ophthalmologist or optometrist, whatever, you know, down the street. And it blew these people away. In fact, we even have a part of your ad, the lady, she said it was just like old school, her former ophthalmologist, night and day, night and day. So tell us, you're here. The reason you're here, Michael, is because our mission statement for Longevity Medical Clinic and Leading Edge Medicine is to make available the latest, the safest, the smartest, the most appropriate leading edge medical services, no matter what. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, we're not ophthalmologists, but Jerry looks for guys like you who are doing it what's best for the client. That's why we have Dan Nelson in here from Pro Ortho. It's not that he just does stem cell. He does what's best for his patients. Might be stem cell, might be who knows what. But that's why we bring in the best.
Yeah, faster, so, smarter, stronger, leaner, and sexier.
That's right. I mean, I was blown away. You made changes even since my previous. I was in to you, what, 4 months ago, four or 5 months ago. And that exam, even, it blew me away in the years past, was obviously high-end, classy, very sophisticated. But you made another leap forward in additional testing and procedures. It just kind of blew me away. I went right home. I said, Vicki, that was an experience. It was so fascinating. So explain real quickly. You've got 3 or 4 minutes here before we have to go to a break. Tell us about an exam for people out there. Maybe they're going to some old school optometrist or what have you, going down to Costco or who knows what. Why and what do you do that's so important?
Well, there are two pieces to that, Pete, and that is, first of all, you know, it is the technology, but second of all, it's knowing how and when to use each of those technologies.
Ah, okay.
So it's not just having that latest box in the corner, but how do you use it? When? And number two, I just want to come back to the most important thing. And I think you were at, you folks invited me to do a talk to the physician group.
Staff.
Right.
Or
which was a lot of fun for me to do. But one of the things I added to that talk is one of my mottos is, it's all about the vision, not the technology. So the technology, and, you know, we sometimes hear on Leading Edge Medicine, you have a toolbox. Well, yes, that's true. And much of the tools that I have are imaging technologies. They're incredible, but they change so fast that you have to keep investing, much as Longevity has invested in the latest lasers, and you know what those numbers mean.
Yep.
Oh my golly.
We have the same thing. And I have, you know, I don't know, six, eight lasers in the practice. And I'm, you know, so when my administrative team hears me say, I've got a new laser that I want, they say, what? You have lasers. Which will we be giving away, doctor? And I said, well, this one performs in a different way.
Exactly.
You know, the latest generation of laser that I'm thinking about now is actually, my son has joined the practice and he's actually has retina specialty training from Harvard. He's now working with me and I have an argon laser that's used to treat diabetic retinopathy and some other conditions of the retina. But he says, you know, the latest generation. Yes, I know. His name is Michael. Yes, I know Michael. I know that we have lasers that will do it much faster, but that is another X.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Sure.
And he says, "Well, that is the leading edge, Dad."
And
folks,
talking chicken feed at Longevity.
No.
We just spent, I think, $700,000 or thereabout, oh, more than that. Okay.
Yeah.
Almost $1 million.
Yeah. It's easy to go to seven figures anymore.
Yes, for new lasers. And people don't understand that.
But I think one of the most powerful things that we use, and if I add up all of the technologies, is the imaging technology where I'm able to show some of the pathology to the patient. And so we're able to, you know, with my microscope, I'm able to put on video screen what I'm seeing in the microscope for the patient to look
at. Right, right.
I show them their cataract.
Yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
They're blown away that, you know, well, that that lens should be clear and mine is all cloudy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Or I show them the loss of glands.
Mm-hmm,
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I say, here, let me take a picture of it. And seconds later, they're actually looking at their glands and I show them normal and I show them you.
Yep.
And I say, and then they're thinking, where did they go?
Right, right.
Especially when the patient in front of me is 27 years old.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
And
yeah.
they have 50% permanent loss of those glands.
Yeah. You showed me that too.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, this is serious stuff. And if they are your eyeballs, how important are your eyeballs? I love what, anyway, if you would like an appointment at Northwest Vision Institute, it is easy, easy, easy to do. Call them at 425. I've got the wrong number here again. Okay, 425-450-2020. 425-450-2020. You can even make your own appointment at nwvision.com. nwvision.com. I've got Dr. Michael Gilbert for another 12 minutes. We'll take some more calls.
We decided we needed something to make us feel younger and healthier. I didn't want to do it by myself. I knew that Larry had to come with me.
Since I've become a longevity patient, I just feel wonderful now. If you're thinking about attending a seminar, go. You have absolutely nothing to lose and everything to gain.
Longevity is a miracle for us.
As we stroll along together, holding hands, walking all alone, so in love are we two that we don't know what to do, so in love.
Well, I'm not exactly sure why, but this is the bumper music we played last break, but that's okay, still good bumper music. We just didn't mean to play it twice.
Still dancing?
It's still a good song. you know, this whole thing, you were talking earlier with Dr. Umat, and if you just tuned in, I've got Dr. Michael Gilbert, Northwest Vision Institute, and of course, Dr. Samira Umat here. But you were talking, 15 minutes ago, talking about the blinking and the natural, lubrication of the eyes and how amazing they are. I remember a comment from Darwin regarding evolution. And he says, well, of course, the eyes are a major exception. There's no way.
Oh.
There's no way these evolved with, 20 million rods or however many umpteen million rods and various things
cones.
In the eyes. There's just cones, cones, rods, cones. Who cares? It's all a miracle. It's all
I a miracle hope you care, Dr. Gilbert.
Oh. Sorry,
Pete.
But
stabbed.
Well, the whole he even admitted there's no way. So the eyes are an exception, but who cares about that reality? The eyes are freaking amazing.
No question.
Just amazing, the intricacy and the very thought that those could evolve is so insane. But here we are. We've got Dr. Michael Gilbert. Let us go to Kirkland and talk with Suzanne. Suzanne, welcome to the show.
Hello. I'm a patient at Northwest Vision, and my diagnosis includes dry eye. So I've been using the artificial tears, the Oasis tears, and the TheraTears that were recommended. But I have multiple chemical sensitivity syndrome. And I seem to be having a reaction either to the chemicals in the artificial tears or to the plastic single-use container for the preservative-free artificial tears. So it's been recommended to me that I use one drop of organic castor oil. And I'm wondering, is that safe to put in my eyes?
Well, In the same way that we can't be certain what you're responding to in the artificial tear products that you've chosen, Suzanne, the castor oil product from one brand to another, or even one lot to another, is going to be uncertain. There are no FDA oversights to castor oil production. So just from the standpoint of sterility and components, trace and ingredients, I don't love the notion of putting castor oil in your eye. I don't think it's a high-risk choice, but I'm going to ask you, how do you transfer it to your eye? You pick up the castor oil bottle and... So you have to transfer it, and in that transferring, I assume you're going to use a glass dropper, maybe? I'm not sure.
Yes.
Yes. So you're going to have to clean the glass dropper with oil in it. It's going to be not easily cleaned each time. I think if, I'm not going to say don't do it, it's dangerous, but it's certainly not without some risks, and those would be amongst the sterility and the purity of the castor oil product that you're choosing. I think I'd be more comfortable if you experimented with different non-preserved products, because each of those products is going to use, if you use non-preserved, and then it's not the preservative, and then you also will find that that the plastics are going to differ from brand to brand. Having that kind of plastic sensitivity is not common, certainly possible, but the plastics differ from between manufacturers. So I think experimenting with different products, if you're looking for one that's more viscous, TheraTears has a product called a non-preserved gel drop. If you really like the oil component of castor oil, then you're looking for the lipid component in the teardrops. And that would be something like, there's a product called Advanced, A-D-V-A-N-C-E, and that's a non-preserved lipid-based, and that would get some of that, but that has the equivalent of castor oil in a sterile dropper. So I'd like you to try those first. And that said, if you have any problems having put castor oil in your eye, sure, come in and see me.
What about something like LipiFlow? Would she be a good candidate? Would that eliminate the need to do drops?
Well, without having Suzanne's picture
in,
and although I recognize the voice, I can't quite picture her eyes. Some people have lost the glands to such a degree that recovery is very difficult.
Okay.
So first we have to see if the glands are there that we can recover. However, most people have some glands left, even if it's only 10-15%.
Yeah.
And if so, the technology that you're referencing called LipiFlow opens up the glands you have left. Now, if you only have 15%, I strongly recommend you try and save that last 15% of the glands, because your condition can get worse.
Right.
But if you're looking for relief, it's more stabilizing the basal level of tear production that you have, and you have to augment for further comfort. And it's in those patients where what you're primarily missing is, in fact, the lipid component of the complex tear film. So adding one of those products that includes a lipid component, like Advanced or some that we have, can be, and that's uncommon. Usually they don't have a lipid component in them. That's a more recent addition.
Okay.
But there are some products that have that, and so you can use that to try and to supplement what little tear production. So yes, the answer to your question, recover whatever gland system you have left, but you still may be requiring some supplementation with a tear component that has some of that lipid in it that you're missing from your own glands. And then, having started with the tear production side, if you're still not able to get enough comfort, we go to the tear drainage side. This is essentially a plumbing system.
Yeah.
And if we can't get enough in, then we block what's going out.
Okay.
And there are two natural ducts in the corner near the nose, in the corner of the eye, and it's an active system, not just a passive system. So every time you blink, it actually pumps tears out of the eye.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're not producing very much, you'd like that not to happen. You'd like to hold on to those tears.
Right.
so we can put a plug or just permanently seal off. We would normally test that to see how much it helps by putting just a temporary plug in there. It's a sterile collagen that melts into swells, blocks those ducts temporarily, and gives the patient a chance to see, does this help?
Sure.
If it helps, then we can do it on a more permanent basis.
Sure. So the lacrimal ducts, you can actually block them to see.
And with that, I have to be the heavy to say we're running out of time.
Oh, no.
But Suzanne, anything else very quickly?
Is the advanced over-the-counter or prescription?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Over-the-counter. And with that, thank you, Suzanne. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we can't get to Vicki. Hopefully she can call us on our next program. We'll give her the number. Dr. Michael Gilbert, this has been fun.
Thank you, Peter.
Hey, you know, you were going to be here for an hour. Can I steal you for another few minutes?
I'd love to.
Because we are going to be on another radio. We actually do 4 hours every Saturday, 2 hours here on 770 KTTH. And then the next 2 hours from 10 to noon on another station. We don't promote that station other than by saying go to our website at lmclinic.com, and you can push the podcast button at the top right-hand side of the page. At lmclinic.com, push that podcast button, and all 4 hours are listed there where we are for all 4 hours. These 2 hours and then the next 2 hours. And Dr. Michael Gilbert will join us at least for a few minutes during the next hour. You want an appointment with him? Boy, you should. 425-450-2020. 425-450-2020. And for those of you who want to be on the leading edge and participate on the leading edge, and you'd like a free health analysis appointment, I hope you'll grab one. You get 2 free tests, plus you get $100 of free longevity supplements or the 2 fitness books and the fitness bands. Your choice just for making a free health analysis appointment. We do have only about 10 at each of our 3 clinics, Tacoma, Linwood, Kirkland. Go to lmclinic.com. If you don't measure, you don't know. Let us measure for you. Have a good weekend.